Ready, down, hunt, 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 hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jason Wilde time here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Hello.
Hello. Or you could do the Mrs. Doubtfire. Hello.
Hello.
Very good. Very good. We are talking about Myles Garrett this morning. I read your article on the Wisconsin State Journal talking about Myles Garrett and Cooper Kupp. What does your gut tell you about either of those players being Green Bay Packers in the near future?
Yeah, probably not. Right, but it's fun, and there are reasons to think that they would at least be interested, right? Like, I don't know what, Cooper Kupp is 32. He would definitely not fit the Goody paradigm. On the other hand, he does have history with Matt LaFleur. I don't know what his market's going to be. The Packers have, in my opinion anyway, two question marks in terms of their wide receiver group, and maybe this is just me in helicopter beat writer mode again, but we all know Christian Watson not till November, and that's the optimistic view, right? If we use TJ Hockenson as our template for when a guy who tears his ACL as late in a season as Christian Watson did could come back. But, I want Romeo Dobbs to be healthy and not have to worry about traumatic brain issues from these concussions. But when you have two concussions in a 7-week span, you get one while wearing a guardian cap, and you look the way he did as he left the field at Lincoln Financial Field, I have some concern for him, right? I mean, I'm sure it's the same as some of the beat writers that cover the Miami Dolphins and seeing the stuff with Tua. Now, Tua's was more severe. I understand that. But we don't know. I didn't get to talk to Romeo at locker room cleanout because he obviously was in the concussion protocol. But, there's a question about that. And then add on top of that the fact that both Watson and, Dobbs are heading into contract years. For a position that they stocked so heavily with six draft picks over two drafts, two of those guys that are already gone, the later round, seventh round guys, are gone. And, suddenly you're, as Ted Thompson used to say, you're one twisted ankle away from not being so deep at a position. Do I think that Cooper Kupp fits the mold? I don't, but his relationship with LaFleur, who absolutely loves him, gives me pause. As far as Myles Garrett, I've seen a lot of folks with a lot of opinions on this. I think my favorite one is Goody's not really good in the first round anyway. Why not trade the first round pick? I guess I don't have a complete problem with that theory other than that's not really how this works. But yeah, look, he would be a Reggie White-esque addition, not from the perspective, and Gabe and Tausch and I talked about this yesterday, not from the perspective of changing the view of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and the Packers. That's what Reggie did in addition to being a great player. But he could have a similar impact to what Reggie did. Problem with that one is not only do you have to give up the draft capital, but you are also going to have to sign him to a new contract. He just turned 29 years old, which is not old by any means, but that's a third contract situation. So I have my doubts that that's something that Goody would be willing to do.
Chewy?
I asked him a question. Jason?
This is your best question ever, and I didn't hear a word of it.
Oh, I said, can you give us a percentage on Goody making this move?
I mean, I as well as I do that I'd be guessing, right? I mean, I don't know. Like, his answer, and Joshy played it for us on our show yesterday, when he was asked about the idea of giving up a premium draft pick for a veteran, you know, proven commodity type player. You know, he eventually goes into basically saying, we've never done that before. Like, Ron didn't really do it other than Favre, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Frankie was a plan B free agent, all that. Tad never did it. And obviously, Goody hasn't done it. I mean, Goody actually went so far as to point out that he's actually gone the other direction, right? Trading Adams, trading Rodgers, trading Rasul Douglas. Like, he's more likely to be the guy trading the player that someone else wants than he is to be acquiring a player via a trade. So, again, he loves his young, inexpensive talent, and Myles Garrett isn't any of those things. At the same time, Myles Garrett has 102.5 sacks. He had 14 last year, second most in the league in 2024. So he still has plenty left in the tank, and I completely understand why Packers fans are thinking, hey, let's do this. Like, the time has come for bold initiatives. And so I would love to tell those fans, yeah, I think it's probably 50-50, but I don't think it's that high.
Do you think the Browns actually pull the trigger and make a move, though? Because I'm at the point, Jason, where I just don't, it doesn't feel like Cleveland wants to trade him, is ready to trade him, and the money that they would have to absorb already for a team that has the second fewest, hey, what's up, Stella? The second fewest cap dollars available, because they're $30 million over the cap heading into 2025. Like, it doesn't seem like a deal is likely from their end.
No, I don't think it is. And again, they're also a team that has their GM having said, look, we're not trading him, right? Like, because this actually started after the season. Like, they went 3-14, obviously. They have completely bungled that quarterback situation with a player that now has had injury problems, in addition to all the off-the-field things that they knew about when they acquired him and gave him $236 million guaranteed. Like, I would challenge people to tell me worse moves in NFL history. That has to be, for a singular player, that has to be the worst. It's not like you traded away a bunch of assets for him. You just guaranteed a ton of money for a guy that plays the most important position and had character issues and now has not done anything really for you at quarterback. But if I'm Andrew Berry, like the GM of the Browns, I'm not moving this guy. Like, I would ask for the moon and see if I got it. And then I would have to say, oh, okay, I am getting the 3 first-round picks. Okay, now maybe I'll consider it. But otherwise, he does not strike me as someone who is impetuous. Like, I think the owner, right, Jimmy Haslam, certainly has some of that reputation. But unless the owner steps in, I just don't think that this is a likely deal.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. So the other detail here that a lot of people focus on is Mark Murphy's baby, Mark Murphy's draft in Green Bay in a few months. How realistic, legitimate of a concern is it that Murphy does not want to trade away that first round pick because that's kind of the crowning moment of having the draft in Green Bay? They will never get a Super Bowl, but the draft is coming there. And to give away that first-round pick. Now, again, my gut tells me that's managerial negligence. That's kind of goes against what you're supposed to do if you're Brian Gutekunst and company. But I do understand the human element of it, which is you want to parade out there. You want to stand on that stage. And you would not want to announce the first-round pick in Green Bay, you know, in the shadow of Lambeau Field, etc.
Yeah, I understand it too, but from a football perspective, if your football people deem this to be, and look, I joke about it all the time. Mark Murphy and I are not pals. He never really forgave me for asking what made him qualified to change the structure that had won Super Bowls under Wolf and Thompson, and not have the general manager hire the coach and be the ultimate, you know, arbiter of everything on the football side. And then he gave me his resume, and we were never the same again, which is fine because I get along with Ed Policy great, and I look forward to his regime. But if that were to actually be a reason, if your football people decided, hey, this is the right thing for us, it's worth it, and I want to give Mark Murphy credit here, I don't think he would say, I don't care, we have the draft, we're going to make our pick, we're not going to trade it away. I just don't think he would do that if his football people honestly and seriously told him, look, we think this guy could be our Reggie White. We think it's worth this. We've gotten, you know, these negotiations have gotten us to this point where we think we're getting this guy for below what it should cost us. But it is going to cost us the draft pick at our facility when we're hosting the draft. I don't want to believe that Mark Murphy would say, nope, we're not doing it. We got to make our pick because we've got the draft. I want to believe that he would not do that. And so I'm gonna support the guy who walks to the Hudson Center when he's leaving Ray Nitschke Field to avoid me at the same time that I'm leaving. And say that he would not do such a thing.
Jason, we saw Mark Murphy, not a big fan of the tush push. I hate the tush push. I don't know why they changed this rule. I don't like it. What do you say?
Yeah, I don't like it either. And I know they don't like it either, right? The league doesn't like it. But let's keep in mind that they now have in Green Bay, I don't know what you want to call it,
It's the Kraft mac and cheese.
It's not.
Okay.
It yeah.
Is. What?
Whatever Jesus. You want to call it, it works pretty well. And so, I don't think you should be. I think it's for a league that likes to pretend it cares about safety. Once again, I think this is another example of their hypocrisy. Right? I mean, by the way, and I don't know what the rules were throughout your entire career. But I also don't think that, you know, Frank Winters should be pushing, shoving, yanking Dorsey Levens to get an extra yard or two. I just don't think that he shouldn't be allowed to do that. I think if you believe in player safety, you got a running back who's standing up and a bunch of fat guys throwing all their weight behind him in each direction, and he's getting Malachi crunched in the middle. I just don't think that's a good thing to do safety-wise. And when it comes to the tush push or the brotherly shove or whatever it is, the technical term for it, it's the same deal. And you're submarining defensive players. I think it should be a safety concern, and I think it should be eliminated.
Jason, quickly, you did mention Christian Watson earlier. Do we know if he's had his surgery yet?
Well, I don't know that. I think he would have by now. Obviously, they wanted the swelling to go down. There were some other issues there, too, I was told, besides just the ACL. So I don't know what all those were. But, again, the timeline for him and the type of player he is, and I just feel terrible for the guy. Like, I still can't get over the fact that they basically admitted that if Romeo Doubs hadn't, been sick, that they probably wouldn't have had him active. And then to have that happen, I mean, that talk about worst case scenarios, and then you lose the game on top of it. So I've not reached out to Christian to ask him where he's at. But my hope would be that he's had his surgery and he's at least on his way to recovery.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Listen to Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Is your business looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years and for the last 15 here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help navigate the complexities of a constantly changing business market environment. With your business in mind, Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions and work from a foundation of strong community connections. Commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.